This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. Hey, great to have you here. It is Monday. Really a beautiful evening, 71, clouding over as we speak, getting down to 49 tonight. Tomorrow, it's going to be cloudy all day, high of 71 again, low of 56. And then Wednesday, the clouds will still be here, but a high of 78, low of 62. Imagine that. And it's just April. You know, the shower, when you take your shower nowadays, you probably notice it's not how you remember it being, that powerful jet of hot water calming you down, making you feel better. The reason is because there's actual the restrictors in the shower head. It's just one example, my next guest says, is an example of overregulation here in the U.S. Jeffrey Tucker with us, director of content at the Foundation for Economic Education and the founder of Liberty ME, liberty.me. Hey, Jeffrey, great to have you on WILS.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, I mean,
let me tell you, though.
Go ahead.
Not everybody remembers a good shower.
Yeah, you know, I cracked up reading it. You go ahead. What was it like back in the day?
All this stuff happened about like 1992. So there's a lot of people who never had a decent shower in the United States. Now, you travel internationally, you know what a good shower is. Because I was just in Brazil. I was amazed. Incredible power coming out of that thing. You feel like you're clean for the first time in your life.
What happened in 1992 exactly?
Well, I think it was the EPA, the Congress passed a piece of legislation that snuck in there. Some instructions that only a certain amount of water can come out of your shower head at any one time, which meant that people who make shower heads had to kind of destroy, you know, their shower heads. They had to put these flow stoppers in there. And I don't care what your design is, or how clever you are, if you can't push, a good amount of water through a shower head, it's just not going to work.
And you write about how you basically got a bunch of different shower heads and tried to get, you know, pull the restrictors out of them. How easy is that to do?
I've been doing this for years, but it's getting more difficult. And that's why I went to the hardware store over the weekend. Uh-huh. And I picked up a bunch. Now, I got to tell you, if you've ever been to the hardware store and looked at shower heads, you've got some that cost $4,000 and some that are as low as $2 or $3, you know. So I wanted to know which ones can you easily hack by pulling out the stopper, mm-hmm. about five. And it turned out the one that worked the best was the one that cost a dollar, I think it was $1.97, little plastic thing, you know. Doesn't set you back much. Uh-huh. It's a lot better than paying $4,000. A pair of long nose pliers, pull it out.
You don't break the shower head while you're doing that?
No. You just stick it through there. Remove the washer. Push the long nose pliers through there. Pull out the shower head, the stopper. Screw it into your shower. You will be amazed. So for $2. You'll have the best shower you've ever had in your life. Forget that $4,000 shower head.
I think I'm ready to do that right now.
I'm telling you, I've been getting notes all for the last, what is this, Monday? So for the last 3 days, I guess my article came out on Thursday or Friday. I've been getting notes all weekend from people all over the country who have been doing this. And they said that it's just the biggest single upgrade in their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That they've ever experienced, and finally they're getting a shower like their grandparents used to have.
So the idea that what is the idea, Jeffrey? I mean, behind it, is it simply to be less wasteful with our water? Is that why they instituted this thing?
Yeah, that was the thing, but you know, it doesn't actually make any sense, because if you look at the U.S. Geological Survey's use data on water usage in the United States, all domestic water use, and that includes watering your lawn, washing your clothes, your dishes, you know, all the water you drink in your home, your coffee pot, everything, including your showers, it constitutes 1%. So in terms of the total, this shower nonsense, you know, that the EPA required, I mean, is absolutely nothing. It's a drop in the ocean, really. So this is ridiculous. We pay for the water we use, right? I mean, so you get a water bill. Everybody gets a water bill. And you know that when you use more water, you pay a little more. If you use less water, you use a little less. So yeah, the shower is going to use more water, but also you're going to take a shorter shower because it's more satisfying.
So how do we as a population, I mean, how is it as Americans we allow these kinds of regulations to just come in and take over our lives?
You know what it's like. I'm sure that no congressman ever read it. You know, I don't know. Some bureaucrat at the EPA had a brilliant idea that they would, you know, just get a kick out of causing all Americans to suffer forever with bad showers or something. I think there's an element of Puritanism there.
Well, what do you think has kept the government from making it a criminal act to pull these stoppers out? What's kept them from doing that?
Well, I think that if it were done at the manufacturing end, you know, if then the EPA would come in and fine them and shut down the company. In fact, there were several companies 10 years ago that were shut down because they were selling pre-hacked showerheads. So now you have to do it yourself. The companies cannot sell you showerheads that work. Huh. I mean, it's just it's illegal. So, and you know what's funny about this? A lot of people know about it. Donald Trump mentioned it on the campaign trail. I don't know if you noticed that. But when he was out campaigning, he said, one of the things wrong with this country is you can't get a decent shower anymore because of the EPA. He actually said that, which made me laugh.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I remember that, but I didn't know he was referring to the shower heads. Is this
No. It's a shower. It was because the water pressure is lower than it used to be, but it's not so bad. If you get the right shower head, you can get a decent shower. And that's what he was referring to. I'm not sure he knew what he was referring to, but that's what he was referring to. Not that he'll do anything about it, but I mean, he travels all over the world. And he knows what a good shower is like.
Jeffrey Tucker is with us, Director of Content of the Foundation for Economic Education. Also find him at liberty.me, founder there, liberty.me. So how do you feel the president's doing in terms of addressing these kinds of regulations?
I don't think he's really done anything yet. I mean, the problem is that Donald Trump is an unfocused person. And, you know, he's so interested in, you know, staying in the headlines all the time. He's a little bit scattered. He doesn't seem to be able to work with Congress. I just there's aspects of Trump's agenda I like, some I don't like. But my concern is at this point that it just seems to be more about public relations than it does anything else. So as much as I'd like to see some serious deregulation, mm-hmm. you know, the evidence hasn't emerged yet that he's going to do it.
Well, he'd need Republicans, obviously, to agree with him. Do you think there is that support from Congress to work with him?
There is. But, you know, like, for example, when he, you know this, when he first pushed, when he pushed out his first plan for replacing Obamacare, it wasn't any better than Obamacare. He didn't restore competition to the healthcare market. Mm-hmm. And there were about 40 congressmen that said, hey, look, this is not an improvement. This is just Obamacare light. So they weren't going to support it. So the whole bill went down to defeat. And I've just not seen any action since. And I tell you what, if he can't take on health care, what's he going to do about taxes? So now he's talking about taxes, but I don't know. I mean, the thing is, what I'm learning from watching Trump, and I'm sure you feel the same way, being president is hard. It requires some discipline, some focus. You have to have good relationships with the House leadership, with the Senate leadership, and really get your act together and stay disciplined if you want to pass anything. And I'm just not seeing that he doesn't seem to have this kind of the temperament.
Although he did come in as a successful businessman, and he was known as a negotiator. That's his real skill.
That's a skill. And it seems like he's doing better, I think, than I would have expected with foreign leaders. You know, he likes these kind of meetings, you know, with big shots internationally, and that's good. You know, I think that's good. I want good relations with China and for that matter with Russia, and the Syria crisis seems to be averted.
Is your feeling that he will be able to get to these issues like regulations and especially taxes? Will he have any success there?
If I were going to predict, I would say, sadly, I would say not, but I'm willing to be corrected on this. What I'm seeing emerge right now in Washington is a little more like business as usual. You know, it's like both the people who thought the apocalypse was coming with Trump and those who thought that the greatest thing in the history of the 21st century was going to happen. I think they're both going to be wrong, the optimists and the pessimists. looks to me like the winners here are just business as usual, which makes me sad. But hey, that's also why I write articles, like things like how to make your shower better, because you're not going to be able to depend on the government to improve it. You know, we're going to have to start improving our own lives.
That's what it comes down to.
Right? You got to take control. Take control yourself.
So a group like the Freedom Caucus, do you imagine them really being able to work with him, or are they just on two different pages?
They might be able to. You know, one thing that's really interesting to me is that we have a Freedom Caucus at all. And this is the first time in my life we've had a really substantial number of members of the House of Representatives who are serious about reducing bureaucracy and taxes and really doing something about the key problems in this country. Mm-hmm. I think that's really exciting. I don't know how influential they're going to be over Trump. But to me, it's a process. You know, getting this country back on the right track, it doesn't happen overnight. We have to build a kind of a beautiful movement that understands the Constitution, understands what freedom means, and gradually get us from here to there.
You say it doesn't happen overnight, but we've been waiting a long time. Are we anywhere near that point, or is that?
It's true. We've been waiting a long time, but hey, like I say, we're doing better now than we were 10 years ago. So I don't know.
If Donald Trump isn't going to do this, who in the world ever would? I mean, is because he was the guy that was supposed to change it all up, right? He was the non-politician. If he's going to do the status quo, where does that leave us for the future?
I think we're going to be surprised. You know, one of the things that I'm seeing come alive in this country is a real demand for a new kind of freedom. I mean, everybody I know, and I don't care what your politics are, people are tired of the government. They're tired of Washington and having their lives ruled by bureaucracies, you know, and I think that if there's enough public pressure, we're going to see leaders emerge in this country at all levels, the state level, the city.
My thought is that was what people thought, I think, when they voted for Donald Trump. But we'll see.
We'll see what
we get. It's still early in the game. Tucker is the director of content of the Foundation for Economic Education. That's FEE.org. Also, find him at liberty.me. Liberty.me is Jeffrey Tucker here on WILS. Jeffrey, great to have you. Thanks.
My pleasure. Yep. Bye-bye.